Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. Page 982 in your Scofield Bible. Starting with the fourth verse, we'll read through verse 7. The sixth verse is the text verse for this morning's message. Malachi chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. And let's all stand, please, for the reading of God's word. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right. And fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? And let's pray. Father, great is our opportunity here. There's not an opportunity like this that exists anywhere else in the world. Thank you for giving us this place to come. Thank you for giving this our church, these people with whom to fellowship, but more especially, thank you for the word as it's faithfully preached once again. Bless with thy power the service, the preaching, our preacher, and each of us who listen. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, our never changing God, we come to exalt thee and to speak of thee and to love thee and to adore thee. Sanctify the words that this bit of clay shall speak. Magnify thyself because of it, and the hearts of thy people may be rejoice in thee. Speak to our hearts today, please. Amen. Mrs. Hiles and I had been given by the church a free trip to Bible lands. I had long dreamed of such a trip, and I wished that everybody could take one. We joined a Bob Jones University trip. Dr. Bob Jr. was leading that tour of Bible lands. We met them. We didn't do an entire trip. We met them, I think, somewhere in Europe. And we visited places sacred in Bible history. But of course, the place where all of us wanted to go and had dreamed of going the most was Calvary. It was more than I had thought it would be. I'd often sung about it, years I spent in vanity and pride, knowing not my Lord was crucified, caring not it was for me, he died at Calvary. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. Calvary. I cannot tell you how I felt. I wish everybody could have the privilege of standing and kneeling where I stood and knelt and looked at Calvary. I'd often wondered what I would think there at the cross. What will I think about when I see it? I had read about it, sung about it, thought about it, preached about it. Just outside the northern wall of the holy city of Jerusalem, there is a hill. It's a rocky hill. You can look carefully. You can see the place of a skull. You can see a face, it seems like, that God has carved in the side of that hill, in the rocks. And as I looked at it, this is what I thought. And I do not know why, but I thought this. Dear God, don't let me ever criticize anybody again. If Jesus could do for me what he did on that cross, I certainly can find forgiveness in my heart to anybody, no matter what he or she does to me. I heard a voice say, Dr. Hiles, Dr. Hiles. Looked up, it was Dr. Bob Jones, Jr. standing there, and he said, Dr. Hiles, everybody's on the bus. He said, you're the only one. We're late taking off. You've got to come. But I couldn't leave. When I surveyed the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I counted but loss and poured contempt on all my pride. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, and my all. A few years later, I conducted a tour to the Bible lands. 67 of our people went from the First Baptist Church of Hammond. We had a never-to-be-forgotten journey to Bible lands. I wanted to go back to Calvary most of all. I went back to Calvary and I was disappointed. They had built a bus station right across the street from the hill. It was no longer quiet. I no longer could kneel and pray alone, because the busy hubbub of the activities of a bus station and big buses coming in and out were closer to the Calvary, I guess, than I am to that wall back there right now. It just didn't seem the same. Years ago, I went to the city of Normal, Illinois, to preach in a Bible conference. Dr. John Rice and I were there together. The pastor's wife, Mrs. Arnold Winninger, Jr., a lovely princess of the parsonage, friendly, hospitable, went back again to preach a conference there several years later, and then again. And one day pastor said, Brother Hiles, my wife is not well. Would you and Dr. Rice come over after the service and pray with her, please? We did not know that she had contacted multiple sclerosis. I've been to Maranatha Baptist Bible College now every year of its existence for 22 years. I was there just last fall, and I went over to see Mrs. Winninger. No longer is she a gracious, active person, but she's in bed, an invalid. She can't walk. She can't sit up without help. She's just totally incapable of moving her own body. Wasn't the same. I went to the Hillcrest Baptist Church. I grew up in the Hillcrest Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. I was saved there. Sorry, I was not. I was saved in Fernwood Baptist Church. I was saved. I was called to preach there. I was ordained, licensed to preach there, ordained to preach there. Mrs. Howells and I were married there. Last year, I took a tour of people back to the Hillcrest Baptist Church. My preacher is not there anymore. He's in heaven. Most of the people that influenced me, likewise, have gone to heaven. Just wasn't the same anymore. I said about over there is where I was called to preach, but there's just a vacant lot there now. And I said about up there was where I was baptized, but just the back of another building is there now because the building burned where I was called to preach and where I was licensed and ordained to preach the gospel. It's not the same anymore. I go to the Sword of the Lord. I love Dr. Curtis Hudson. I believe he's God's man for the job. I think he's God's successor, choice as successor for Dr. John R. Rice. But I go to the Sword of the Lord and I go to Dr. Rice's office. Still there, just like it was. There's his desk. There's his chair. There's much of his big library over there. And I walk around expecting to see him, but he's not there. it's not the same anymore. I go to the Bill Rice Ranch, gone for the last, I guess, 30 years every year. I go to the Bill Rice Ranch. For many years, my good friend, Dr. Bill Rice, was there. Most charming person I ever met in my life. I mean, of all the people, and I've met hundreds of thousands of people personally, the most charming personality, the man that had the most charisma, the person with the most charisma of anybody I've ever known was Dr. Bill Rice. What a wonderful friend. What a wonderful man. You can see the hoof prints of his horses and his own footprints, his picture on the walls, but Dr. Bill is not there. It's a wonderful place, but it's not like it used to be. It's changed. I preached Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga last year, the year before last, Southwide Baptist Fellowship. I couldn't see Dr. Lee Robertson on the platform. I preached there the first time in 1956. The last time I counted, I preached almost 200 sermons in the Highland Park Baptist Church of Chattanooga, Tennessee, and Tennessee Temple College University. All of those, for all those years, Dr. Robertson sitting right back here on the platform. I can hear him now. I'd preach, that's right, this is it, that's right. Yes, Jack, go ahead. He calls me Jack, and he has a right to. But now Dr. Robertson's retired. He's still preaching, thank God, but he wasn't on the platform. Looked out and saw Lee Robertson sitting over here to my left in the audience. It just wasn't the same anymore. I go every morning when I come to work. I always, every morning, I drive by 122 167th Street in Calumet City, Illinois. That's where I used to go every Friday to spend some time with my mama. The apartment where she lived until she had to leave to go to the hospital from our clinic. She went to heaven. And if I'm have a little bit of a burden, I'll stop there and look at the window. Every day I look at the window of her bedroom. Never miss a day when I'm home. Never. Never. This morning drove by, as always. And I think about how Mama looks and how she used to sit there in the little living room of her apartment, how we used to talk, and how she used to say, I'm proud of you, son, and I love you. I thank God for my boy. But it's not the same anymore. I took a trip several years ago. In fact, this month, some of us are going to be there that won the contest last fall to one of the most exciting country churches I've ever seen in my life. I wish you could have known the Grange Hall Baptist Church years ago when I was a lad of 21 years preaching there, the Grange Hall Baptist Church. People came from far and near. We had members that lived 80 miles from other members. And didn't have four-lane highways, didn't have interstates in those days. And what a wonderful church. There are 40 pastors and missionaries around the world today who are called to preach and surrender to preach in the 3.5 years I pastored that little church out in the country. 40. I was in a certain city not long ago. The three largest fundamental churches in that city were pastored by young men who were called to preach while I was there in those 3.5 years. Wonderful place. Well, my heart began to beat faster as I got closer to it because I want to go back and see. I dream about once a month that I'm pastoring that church again. About once a month I dream that I'm pastor there. I'm always glad to wake up and find them here. But I wanted to go back and see it. And so I got a car by myself, and I drove out Highway 43 and passed by where the Hartsfields lived on the right, Hartsfields lived on the right, and then by Mrs. Smoke's house up here on the top of the hill, and then by Varner's grocery store, and sort of a country catch-all kind of a store, and then down a little incline there, past the Stott's house over here, and Mrs. French over here, and then Mr. McGeorge's house up over here, and Mrs. Munden up here, and then I saw the building. The first building program I ever had was I built a restroom, two restrooms, and six Sunday school classrooms on the back of that little white frame building. And I walked up to go in, and I couldn't wait to walk in and see the pulpit where I'd preached and the pews. The door was locked. I shook the door like that. And when I shook it, it wouldn't open. And I shook it harder. And being the mighty man that I am, I actually pulled the door off its hinges. I mean, there I was holding the door. And some women were in there. The table spread. No pulpit, no auditorium. And I said, they said, "What's going on here?" I said, "I'm sorry. I used to pastor this church years ago." They said, "This is not a church. This is Rebecca Lodge." And I turned and wept and walked away. It wasn't like it used to be. I went to the Fernwood Baptist Church where I got saved. Took some people there last year. And I showed them the very spot where I got saved. But the old building is gone. And, of course, the pastor's long since gone to heaven. And it's not like it used to be. Changed. I go to Maranatha College every year. I go back now. There's no Dr. Cederholm there, like he was for years when I preached there. No Mrs. Cederholm. Still a good school. I'm still on the board there. But it's not like it used to be. I stand at funeral services. I stand right here beside caskets. One of our dear beloved members' body, what's left of him, all that could die of him, is sitting here in front of me. Or lying there. If he sits there, I'm taken off. But he's lying there in front of me. And I watch you as you come by to view the bodies. And I look at you and I remember. I see some of you with hair that's white. It was black or dark just a few years ago when I came. I see some of you can hardly walk. Maybe you have a walking stick or crutches. And you have to limp and you barely can walk. And I remember when you were younger when I came here, how active you were. It's not like it used to be. I go to the throne of grace, kneel, and approach the throne of grace. It's just like it used to be. Just like it used to be. I come to my Heavenly Father and talk with Him. He's just like He used to be. I open the blessed book, same one Mama used, been tampered with far too much. It's just like it used to be. How about this one? I am the Lord thy God. I change not. How about this one? In whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Or how about this one? I am, has sent thee. Or how about this one? Before Abraham was, I am. Or how about this one? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Or how about this one? Thou art the same, and thy years fail not. Or how about this one? Before Abraham was, I am. I'm simply saying, thank God, there's one place that never changes. Never does. You get my age. That's one of the, there are not many bad things about growing old, but that's one of the bad things about growing old. Places that are precious to you are not there anymore. And buildings that are precious have been torn down. And people that are precious have gone. But thank God, I am the Lord thy God. I change not, he said. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. Thank God, every time I go to the places where I meet God, He's always there and He's always the same. He changes not. He's the same all the time. The same all the time. You'll never find Him in a bad mood. You'll never find Him not at home. You'll never find Him tired and weary. You'll never find Him with the line busy. You'll never find Him feeling ill. You'll never find Him broke or insolvent. You'll never find Him depressed. You'll never find Him nervous or disillusioned. You'll never find Him old and gray. He'll look just like He looked the last time you saw Him. He'll talk just like He talked the last time you heard Him. He'll listen just like He listened the last time you spoke to Him. You'll never find Him despondent. You'll never find Him melancholy. You'll never find Him perplexed. You'll never find Him distressed. You'll never find Him having a bad day. You'll never find Him wanting to be alone. You'll never find Him stingy or selfish. He's always the same. I try so hard to be that way. And nothing irritates me at myself anymore than not to be about the same all the time. Sometimes young people come by the office on Saturday morning. And last week, I'd been up part of the night, and some young ladies came by, teenage girls came by to cut up with me and bother me, and I love for them to bother me. And they came by. I had some folks there in the office. We were having some kind of a meeting. But as I said in my Sunday school class, it doesn't matter if President Bush is there. They just barge on in. It doesn't matter. And by the way, they're important enough to me, I'd tell President Bush to wait a while I had something more important to take care of. But last week, one of them said, "Brother Hiles, are you sick?" And I said, no. And she said, "Are you sure you feel all right?" And I said, "Yeah, I did before you got here anyway. Feel bad now." And so she wrote me a note the next day and said, "Brother Hiles," she said, "everything seemed all right Sunday morning." She said, "I was worried about you." She said, you didn't seem like yourself." Well, I'd been up most of the night. I guess that was what it was. I wasn't my usual delightful, charming, wonderful, precious self. And I don't have time to say all the adjectives there. She came by yesterday. I said, "What was wrong last?" She said, "Well, you didn't insult me." And she said, "You weren't sarcastic." And so forth. And I thought, I wish I could always be the same. That's my goal. I want to be as near possible the same when I walk out that door every Sunday that I can. I want to be the same. I want to be the same. I want there to be some constant here in First Baptist Church. I wish I could be all the time. But sometimes I may be a little tired, and sometimes my mind might not be as alert as others, and sometimes my body might not be as strong as others, and sometimes you may have to say the preacher just seemed like he was not himself today, but you'll never say that about the Heavenly Father. He's always himself. He's always the same. He never changes. I want this church to be the same. As you heard me say before, I have a goal that if anybody comes to visit First Baptist Church of Hammond on any day of any Sunday of the year, I want them to find about as near as possible exactly what they found the last time they came on Sunday. I want it to be predictable. I want it to be someplace you go and say, "This is what I'll get." You know, you go to the gas station, you always want to get gasoline. You go to the barber shop, you always want to get a haircut. You go to the ice cream store, you always want to get ice cream. You go to the grocery store, you want to get groceries. And I want people who come to First Baptist Church of Hammond to feel like it's about the same all the time. But I'm sorry to say, we do, all of us, have to change some. There's some variableness. There's some shadow of turning. But our Savior changeth not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has no variability, the shadow of turning. His days are always the same, and you'll never find him different than how you found him before. That isn't all. Not is he the same all the time, but he's the same to everybody. He's the same to everybody. He's the same to the bus kids that he is to Lee Robertson. He's the same to the poor as he is to the rich. He's the same to the laity as he is the clergy. He's the same to the educated as he is the uneducated. He's the same to the strong as he is to the weak. He's the same to the old as he is to the young. He's the same to the pretty as he is to the ugly. And he'd just as soon have some dear old saint of God in a rest home or a convalescent home somewhere come to God's throne as Dr. Jack Hiles and Dr. Lee Robertson, Dr. Tom Malone, and Dr. Curtis Hudson, Dr. Bob Gray all together. He's the same to everybody. That means this morning He'll reach out and save the poorest as well as he will the richest. He'll save the smallest as well as the biggest. He'll save the least learned as well as the PhD. He'll save the illiterate as much as he will the doctor. I'm simply saying that he's always the same. He's the same all the time, and he's the same to everybody. I thank God for that. I want this church to be that way. I want this church to be a haven of refuge for the doctors who come here, and I want to be the same haven of refuge for the little bus kids that come here. I want this church to welcome as much the one who comes in rags as the one who's wrapped in a mink coat today. As I said recently in a sermon here, there are no low-class people. No low-class people. For as God's concerned, He welcomes the poor as well as the rich, and I don't care who you are this morning. His arms are outstretched to you. He's always the same. Not only is he the same all the time, and not only is he the same to everybody, but he has the same response to the same stimulus all the time. The other day somebody gave me a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. It was the 15,465,910th that I've gotten through these years. But I wasn't hungry. I'd just gotten through eating 16 of those things, and I wasn't hungry. And the person looked at me and said, "Dr. House, don't you like them anymore?" And I said, "Yes, I like them." "Well, aren't you going to eat it?" "Oh, brother." My pooch pooched out farther, and I opened it, and I ate it. I could tell they were disappointed. Because Brother House is sometimes not always the same, and sometimes I respond differently. Ah, but you come to the throne of grace this morning, and his response will be just like it was when the church on Pentecost knelt and prayed. Same stimulus. Yeah. If you this morning are away from God, he'll respond to you just like he did Jacob of old when he came back to the will of God. He'll respond the same way. I mean, everybody who ever has been away from God, ever came back and said, "God, I'm sorry, forgive me, I've sinned." He's always responded the same. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just." I love that term, faithful. He's faithful. Nobody ever has said, "Forgive me," without getting forgiveness. Nobody ever has come to him and found closed arms. Nobody ever has come back to him and found the door locked. And this morning, if you've wandered away from God, he's as faithful this morning as he was that prodigal son that came back in the 15th chapter of Luke. He'll respond to the same stimulus all the time. And that means he'll respond to the same sin, and he'll punish the same way he always has. And he hates sin like he always did. And the doctrines are what they always were. You don't hear hell preached about much anymore, but there's still a hell because he changeth not. You don't hear sin condemned much anymore, but sin is still black because he changeth not. You don't hear gambling preached against much anymore, with all the lotteries and the bingo games in your Catholic churches and the lotteries in your state legislatures, but God changes not. What God hated 6,000 years ago, God hates today. And what God condemned 6,000 years ago, God condemns today. I'm saying our God never changes. He responds to the same stimulus all the time. By the way, that night when Paul and Silas were in the jail at midnight, they began to pray and sing. And all of a sudden the prison doors flew wide open and the jailer fell down and said, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house." When that jailer looked up and trusted Christ as his Savior and the Lord saved his soul, that same God responds today just like he always did. You this morning sitting here and you look up to God and say, "I know I'm a sinner and I know I'm lost and I know I'm without Christ and I don't know I'd go to heaven if I died. If I died today, and I'm afraid if I died right now I'd go to hell. Oh God, I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. The church cannot save me and the preacher cannot save me and the baptism cannot save me and communion cannot save me and the sacraments cannot save me and confirmation cannot save me and baby baptism cannot save me and living a good life cannot save me. And good works cannot save me." Ah, but Jesus, you can. And I trust you as my Savior. He'll respond to that just like he did for the at midnight for the jailer. He'll respond the same way he did the thief on the cross when he said, "Today thou shalt thou be with me in paradise." He'll respond the same way he did for the Apostle Paul when Saul of Tarsus came to Jesus Christ. I'm simply saying, I believe with all my soul this old book's the same it always was, and my Savior's the same he always was, and salvation's the same it always was, and hell's like it always was, and God hates sin like he always did, and God loves sinners like he always did. I'm simply saying, thank God, there is a constant. I walked away from that little church that I loved so dearly. My first funeral was conducted there. My first wedding was conducted there. First person I baptized was baptized there. I walked away from it and realized it was now Rebecca Lodge. The little parsonage where we used to live was torn down. I walked away. And I went up on a hill just up far from the church where I used to go to pray. Where I prayed in the woods for God's power to fall upon my life. Where I used to beg God to give me his power and where I used to beg God for help.
the old tree was still there. The old hill was still there. And when I got on my face, I felt just like I did as a kid preacher 42 years ago. Why? They hadn't even redecorated the throne of grace. Hadn't even painted it. It's just like it always was. And God was there. I am thy God. I changeth not. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You just wrap your future on Him. Set your sights on Him. And look at Him. He never changes. He never changes. In whom there is no variableness. I got to laughing the other day about that. Neither shadow of turning. I was reading that out in the woods. I was walking down the street and I saw my shadow. And I said, doesn't look like it used to. You can't depend on shadows anymore. I mean, they don't make shadows like they used to. Oh, my. And I got to laughing. But even my shadows changed, but not my Savior. In Him there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. This morning, if you're here and you don't know Him, you walk down this aisle in a few minutes and say, I want to trust Him as my Savior. He'll do the same thing for you He's always done, because He's always the same. He responds to the same stimulus the same way that He always has. If you're here this morning and your life is not counting for Him, you've drifted away from Him. There was a day when this Bible was precious to you. There was a day when the throne of grace was where you would have found yourself abiding. There was a day when soul winning was a part of your life and the church was the center of all of your life. But now you've drifted away. I'll tell you what. He's there waiting. He's there waiting. And when you come back, he'll be just like he was. Oh, I won't be the same. Somebody came back to the church the other day, had been gone about 15 years, said, Brother Howes, you don't look the same. I said, I didn't recognize you either. And some new people are here and some people are gone. And the building's not like it used to be. Building's bigger now. Ah, but Jesus is the same. He's always the same. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Sing it. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Thank you, Father. What a wonderful God we serve.